Recently, one of the major banks, PTSB, is reported to have done a deal with up to 1,000 homeowners who are in arrears by reducing their mortgage repayments. Other banks are showing no signs of being more understanding to their customers. Last week, AIB claimed that one in five mortgage holders was selectively defaulting, though that's being challenged by many commentators. Nolene Blackwell, director of FLAC, joins me now in studio. Nolene, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
OK, what are you hearing on the ground about what PTSB is doing?
Well, what we're hearing is that at various levels, all of the lenders are engaging with borrowers more than they were. Some of it seems to be quite constructive. Some of it seems to be almost pro forma. But at every level, we have to understand that this is about trying to get people to pay their debts in the best way that they can. And you would have thought, even if there wasn't central bank pressure on anybody, that it is high time that the lenders came to the conclusion that the old arrangements weren't working and that they needed to put in place new arrangements. And maybe with the central bank pressure, maybe with the sense of that they have delayed for so long, all lenders are beginning to understand they have to get in whatever money they can, as best they can, in a way that is suitable for borrowers. And this is made, of course, more real by the imminent introduction of insolvency legislation, which will force their hand to a certain extent. So what we know, because PTSB are the people who tell us, is that they are coming to arrangements with their borrowers. What we understand is happening is that all lenders are coming to some resolution with their borrowers because they have to, because it makes sense, and because that's what banks do.
What banks have been essentially paid for by getting large tranches of capital from the government.
And exactly. So we have some six lenders who are subject to the central bank regime in general who must do more because they're under this regime. But at every single level, every single bank, the subprimes included, all want to, or all should want to, resolve their problems. Maybe the ones who have got the money from the bank are less interested in some ways because they have got this money, but they've got to do it now because insolvency will certainly force the pace for some of them. But that's from the bank perspective. From what we're hearing at the level of consumers is that, I'll come back to that in a second, the question that it's all rumour and innuendo and anecdotal. But we are hearing that some lenders are sending out correspondence or making phone calls to borrowers that are deeply unhelpful. So they're people who've been on interest only.
Give us the money or give us your house. Is that what we're talking about?
They've been on interest only for a while and suddenly they're getting a letter saying, we've reviewed your situation, start paying up your mortgage in full or arrange to sell it or we'll sell it for you. That seems to be not the basis of any logical, well thought through negotiation.
And the people you're talking about are people who have maintained their payments. These are people who have actually been paying, even if it is on the basis of interest only.
They're in some trouble. I mean,
they would be in some trouble if they had to pay the capital back.
If they had to pay their original arrangement. So they've been on this delayed arrangement for a period of time and without understanding the process, they're getting these letters. And the only reason that it seems to us that so many of them are coming through at this time must be to meet some targets that the central bank have set. And we're wondering, is it some sort of a pro forma reaction, just a tick box exercise? The six main lenders were asked to issue offers to 20% of their people in mortgage arrears by the end of June. Now, not necessarily fabulous offers, just offers for more sustainable arrangements. And we wonder if this is part of the case. But a real problem for us is that PTSB have told the public generally what they're doing. None of the others have done this. In fact, it is even impossible, if you want to come to an arrangement with your lender, it is impossible to look up any website and say, these are the various arrangements that my lender will offer as alternative arrangements, because none of them publish that. This information isn't going to be commercially sensitive. All it means is it'll come out in dribs and drabs through conversations like you and I are having. But none of them are doing anything where I can know in relation to my my lender, what alternative arrangements are they putting in place? And alternative arrangements they will have to put in place.
Is the notion of debt forgiveness in the lexicon of Irish banks?
Well, it's of course a phrase. Debt forgiveness sounds like one person is forgiving something, some moral sin. Is the question that some lenders are going to have to recognise that some people are never going to be able to repay their debt in full, or it's going to have to be adjusted substantially if they're going to get their money back? That has to be in the lexicon. Listen, it's only a business. These banks are businesses trying to recover as much money as they can. If their choices are don't get it back at all because I'm going to stick to my principles, or write down some of it, extend the term for repayment of more of it or whatever, they will of course have to do this, because if they are to make sustainable arrangements, they have to be arrangements that people can repay.
And in relation to what David Duffy said last week, and others have said, and the, you know, is it 20%? Is it a third? Is it 50%? What is it? The strategic defaulters, whatever they are. Is this part of a softening up process, that when the time comes when the banks do start to go after people, that there will be less public sympathy for those people on the basis that, sure, they're probably strategic defaulters?
Well, FLAC is very concerned that somebody would come up with a figure like this without explaining what the criteria were for deciding it, without us understanding what they mean by it at all. The truth is, most people are strategic payers of their debt. That's what they do. They do their level best to pay their mortgage debt and the rest of their debt as best they can on reduced incomes and with far too much debt to try and cope with. We do not accept, and we don't see any evidence, that 20% is the figure for people who could pay but just decide they won't pay because they're looking for a better deal. What we feel is terribly unfortunate in saying something like this is that now people going in to try and deal with AIB will now be wondering what criteria AIB are using to try and work out their bona fides. Most people are trying to do their level best. And now there is a suggestion being made by the chief executive of one of the biggest banks, and the bank that the people own to a great extent, that one in five of their debtors, that they feel suspicious about them without any great sense of knowing it. Strategic default is an attitude. It's a way of mind for an organisation that has come up with very little information in general about debt and about how people are going to be able to repay it. It is interesting that they can get into the mind of people and come up with this figure. In our view, it is pure speculation.
Do you think, I mean, given the fact that the central bank didn't come rushing out to say David Duffy is right, that perhaps there was a certain amount of misdirection going on last week, that this became the story rather than the losses incurred by AIB over the previous 6 months?
I think the banks are going to have to deal more with figures. Exactly that this kind of speculative look into the minds of borrowers to identify their moral attitude is a lot less helpful than it would be for AIB to come out and say, here are the many ways in which people can constructively repay debt that they cannot currently repay. That would be really useful. It would be really useful as well if we had some alternative view, because when you look at AIB, they have hundreds of people, so do the other banks, hundreds of people trained up to deal every single day with people who are in mortgage arrears. And people in mortgage arrears are trying to deal with them as best they can. But unless you are lucky enough to be a client of MABS or to have professional advice available to you, people who are going into these negotiations are normally going in entirely on their own, unsupported by any kind of state service, as I say, apart from MABS and apart from help available from professionals. And in FLAC, we have a huge concern that people are trying to renegotiate when they don't quite know what they're doing in relation to some of the most important things in their lives, often the roof over their head or their main means of income. So if we had a situation where everybody had a set of advisors, then when some bank official came out with some statement like Mr. Duffy came out with last week, you would have the advisors on the other side saying, no, that's not our experience, or this is our experience, or whatever. But because people are doing this individually, on their own, under pressure and stress, there's no real counterbalance to what he is saying, because each person is trying to do it on their own.
And do people going in those situations, as you say, on their own, do they have rights that they might not be aware of, or are they more or less unprotected by the law if they are in chronic arrears?
Well, there's a massive power imbalance between the two, because at the end of the day, cases are dealt with by the lender on a case-by-case basis, which is effectively that the lender makes the decision. However, it is important for people to understand there is some help available, and I might just mention people can go to MABS in order to work out their budgets and finances. There is a mortgage information helpline that's available through the Citizens Information Centre. FLAC centres are there to get some very basic legal advice. So there are a couple of supports that are there that people should know. And most of all, people should know, lenders in relation to their residential mortgage are obliged to comply with the Code of Conduct on Mortgage Arrears and go through a process. There are deep flaws in it. It's not fair. But at the same time, it is there. And at the very least, people should read the Code of Conduct on Mortgage Arrears, which is available on the Central Bank website, or could be got through a library if people don't have access to the web. People should contact MABS. People should contact the Mortgage Information Helpline. And they should contact FLAC centres and try and get their own heads in a good space before they go and talk to their lenders. Yes, talking to your lender is very important, but try and marshal your own help as best you can. And then the other thing people could do is remind their TDs that there is no assistance available for people at a most crucial time in their lives, and ask their TDs to press government to put it in place.
Specifically on split mortgages,
yes.
What's going on there at the moment?
Okay, so a split mortgage is the newest flavour of the month.
It's the so-called parking of,
yeah,
of half so, of your mortgage.
So you owe an awful lot of money, both in capital and interest. And what is done is the amount that you owe is split, and some of it is put on a shelf and called warehoused also, or split, put away. And in a good split mortgage, there is little or no interest charged on the amount that's put away. And you pay the rest of your mortgage as best you can, capital and interest, so that you're eating into your mortgage. And as you know, you put off the evil day when you deal with the warehouse part. Now, the difficulty is that, for instance, as we understand it, when Bank of Ireland offer a split mortgage, they charge interest on the bit that's put away as well. So this is, to some extent, no help at all. In fact, it's worse than no help. And others, such as PTSB, as we're mentioning them earlier, charge little or no interest on that bit that's put away. So a split mortgage is what the central bank would love to see lenders doing. But it is only helpful, obviously, if you're not paying interest on,
yeah,
if you're paying interest on the bit that's put away, sure.
You might as well be
point?
Paying the original,
exactly,
mortgage. And do we know then what is going to happen when that even day does come?
No, we don't. Not. We don't. And that's it's another real problem. But it's an alternative for the banks to writing off that debt. They can then put it to one side on their books, and they can say, we may get it into the future.
Mm. There is you mentioned right at the beginning of our conversation, there's an oncoming train as far as the banks are concerned, and they can see the lights coming down the tunnel as we speak, and that's the personal insolvency,
yeah,
legislation. Where do you think, what's your best bet on where that is going to go? Because there are various opinions on how effective it will be, and there are many people who are saying essentially it's not going to make any difference because the banks have a veto.
Yes they do. And insolvency isn't going to be for everybody. In order to be insolvent, you have to be unable to pay your debts at all. An awful lot of people are able to pay their debts and just need restructuring and time to repay them. But what it will do is it will put an absolute bottom line on some people who are absolutely not able to pay. And in those cases, we certainly in FLAC, we would make the same point you're making there, Miles, that if the bank has a veto, what's the point of having it? But if you have tried for an insolvency arrangement and your lender has vetoed it, then you have the option of becoming bankrupt again.
This is the point that Carl Dieter was making on the programme last week, where he was saying that as far as he was concerned, it would be, the legislation would be effective.
It will. But again, it will only be for a certain number of people. I mean, most of the people who contact FLAC aren't insolvent. They are just in a bad way in paying all of their debt at this particular stage. For them, it won't matter. The insolvency legislation won't do anything. But I'll tell you something else it does do for all of us. For everybody who is now going in to talk to their lender if they're in debt, or to any of their creditors, there is now a set of minimum income guidelines that have been set up in the context of insolvency, but that can be used more generally, so that lenders and other creditors recognise there is a minimum income that everybody needs to live in basic dignity, and that they can only pay debt after that minimum is retained for themselves and their dependents.
Okay, but the bottom line is, as far as you're concerned, if you are going in to negotiate with a bank and you are looking to do something about rescheduling your repayments, you are not alone. There are places that you can go, FLAC being one of them, NABS being another.
Not enough, we would say. But there is something.
But you're not completely alone. Noreen Blackwell of the Free Legal Advice Centre, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Miles.